Da da di. Gopi janna vala ba girivara da di. Yashoda nandana prajajana ranjana Yashoda nandana prajajana ranjana Yamuna tira vanachari Yamuna tira vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Dham Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Padavaja Kacharya Astotara Satishishimad. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Kijai. Dham Vishnu Pad Padamamsa Padavaja Kacharya Astotara Satishishimad. Sringa Guru Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Kijai. Anantikoti Vaishnavinda Kijai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai. Premsiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadvip Dham Kijai Jagannath Puri Dham Kijai New Dwarka Dham Kijai Jamunamaya Gangamaya Kijai Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Kijai Their Divine Lordship Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Kijai Their Divine Lordship, Shishi Jagannath Balde, Shimati Subhadra. Their Divine Lordships, Shishi Gornitai Kijai. Transcendental Book Distribution Kijai. Harinam Sankirtan Jaga Kijai. Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Kijai. Gaur Pramananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the Sama devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to all the assembled devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya So today is Lord Vrahadev's holy appearance day, and we're going to discuss a little bit about Lord Vrahadev's glories. We'll read some prayers and pastimes of Lord Vrahadev and how glorious he really is. So I'll wait till he takes a photo. Before we change the slide. Okay, thank you. So there's some beautiful images of Lord Vrahadev. Deities and paintings and drawings everywhere. So this was really nice image. I thought it was very beautiful. So here's a verse from the third canto. Actually, we're going to be reading about his appearance. Is that what we're on chapter 12 now, right? In the third canto. So next chapter, we're going to read about Lord Vrahadeva. So here's a verse from there. I could just chant here. Namo namaste kila mantra devata dravyaya sarva kratave kriyatmane viragya bhaktyatma janu jananu bhavita jnanaya vidya gurave namo namaha. O Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and are worshipped by universal prayers, Vedic hymns, and sacrificial ingredients. We offer our obeisances unto you. You can be realized by the pure mind, freed from all visible and invisible material contamination. We offer our respectful obeisances to you as a supreme spiritual master of knowledge in devotional service. So there's a couple verses here from there. Actually, I'd like to read this purport. It's very nice. The qualification of bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord, is that the devotee should be free from all material contamination and desires. This freedom is called vairagya, or renouncement of material desires. One who engages in devotional service to the Lord according to regulative principles is automatically freed from material desires. And in that pure state of mind, one can realize the personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, instructs the devotee regarding pure devotional service so that he may ultimately achieve the association of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:10 as follows. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To one who constantly engages in the devotional service of the Lord with faith and love, the Lord certainly gives the intelligence to achieve him at the ultimate end. One has to conquer the mind, and one may do it by following the Vedic rituals and by performing different types of sacrifice. The ultimate end of all those performances is to attain bhakti, or devotional service of the Lord. Without bhakti, one cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Personality of Godhead, or his innumerable expansions of Vishnu, and are only objects of worship by all the Vedic rituals and sacrificial performances. So that's a nice verse of purport there. And then another verse here from the 13th chapter. O lifter of the earth with its mountains, which you have lifted with your tusks, is situated as beautifully as a lotus flower with leaves, sustained by an infuriated elephant just coming out of the water. Purport. The fortune of the earth planet is praised because of its being specifically sustained by the Lord. Its beauty is appreciated and compared to that of a lotus flower situated on the trunk of an elephant. As a lotus flower with leaves is very beautifully situated, so the world, with its many beautiful mountains, appeared on the tusks of the Lord Boar. And one more. O Lord, as the peaks of great mountains become beautiful when decorated with the clouds, your transcendental body has become beautiful because of your lifting the earth on the edge of your tusks. Purport. The word vibrama is significant. Vibramaha means illusion as well as beauty. When a cloud rests on the peak of a great mountain, it appears to be sustained by the mountain, and at the same time, it looks very beautiful. Similarly, the Lord has no need to sustain the earth on his tusks, but when he does so, the world becomes beautiful. Just as the Lord becomes more beautiful because of his pure devotees on the earth. Although the Lord is the transcendental personification of the Vedic hymns, He has become more beautiful because of His appearance to sustain the earth. So that's a nice point, how just as the Lord becomes more beautiful because of His pure devotees on the earth, so similarly, we want to become more beautiful by hearing about His pastimes, reading about His pastimes, and even sometimes we could see the places where He had His pastimes. So it's very beautiful. So this is a nice painting we see of the major incarnations of Krishna. And in the Bhagavad Gita, there's that verse, Paritranam sarunam vinasaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhave yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish principles of religion, I appear myself millennium after millennium. There's a very nice purport there. This is in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada describes there, a holy man, or a sadhu, is a man in Krishna consciousness. So he says, a person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness, wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. A duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants or duskritam are described as foolish and the lowest of mankind. Even though they may be decorated with mundane education, whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as He is to destroy them, as He did with demons, Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons, but the Lord especially descends to appease His unalloyed devotees, who are always harassed by the demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his kin. Although Prahlad Maharaj was a son of Hiranyakashipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, she and her husband Vasudev were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than kill Kamsa. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon, miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. So we'll see how this pastime of Kamsa actually relates to somehow here to Lord Rahadev. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada continues in the purport there. He quotes a verse and it says here, the avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead whose soul descends is called an incarnation or avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. When they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. So there's various kinds of avatars are described. There's the Purusha avatar, the Guna avatars, Lila avatars, Shaktivesh avatars, and they all appear on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna, He's a primeval Lord and the fountainhead of all of them. And He descends specifically to mitigate the anxieties of His pure devotees. So they're also anxious to see Him in His original Vrindavan pastimes. So therefore, His prime purpose of appearing is to satisfy His unalloyed devotees. So we see this pastime as we're describing, was it in this chat where with the four Kumaras, they were first creations of Lord Brahma, and He wanted them to create progeny, and they refused. And then, therefore, He became angry, and Lord Shiva was born. So, but this pastime goes on where those four Kumaras, they actually were able to go anywhere within the material and spiritual worlds. So this one time, they're going through the different gates of Vaikuntha, And on the seventh gate, I believe, there was these two guards, Jai and Vijay. You see, and they were protecting. And for some reason, because of a separatist mentality or not understanding Krishna's mind, describes, they blocked them from coming. They thought, "What are these naked boys coming here? You know, coming in this place." So they stopped them. And they didn't realize that there were great sages, you know, practically the oldest next to Lord Brahma in the universe. So they, as we, you know, this story just summarized, made short, is that they cursed them because they thought, what are these guys doing here when they're seeing differences, you know? So they cursed them that they should be in the material world. So then they... Krishna appeared, and they were so attracted to Krishna. You know, he came to see what's going on, and they smelled his lotus feet, with the tulsis on his lotus feet, and they became devotees of Krishna right there, became personalists. So Krishna actually, you know, said, okay, I approve of the curse, and, you know, they were cursed to go down to the material world. So that's how this pastime actually happens, where this Vai and Vijay become demons in the material world for three times, right? Oh, and then the bonus one, they came as Jagai and Madai. Yeah. So we see here, when they were cursed, we see the pastime here of Aditi and Kashyapa. Yeah, so they, so she was feeling very lusty at this time. She was a little bit jealous of her other wives because they all had kids, and she wanted some children too. So she approached her husband, you know, practically, you know, forced him. I guess you could say raped him. I don't know if you could say that, but she forced him because he was doing his meditation, and he told her that, you know, because of this inauspicious time, Lord Shiva travels with these, you know, ghosts and hobgoblins, and, you know, it's very offensive. So this is what happened, is that these demons were born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And this is when Lord Vraha appears to fix the situation. So that's just one thing showing you there. Some beautiful paintings of Lord Rahadev. So there's a transcript that Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, he says something here. Yes, certainly, therefore, it is called Maya. Maya means magician. And he laughs. And he says, Maya also means affection. Maya means illusion. Magician, so many things, strength, potency. And so he continues here. And this is where that chapter of Diti. The spiritual potency is called Maya. It is said, Ato Maya Mayam Vishnum Pavadanti Manishinaha. The body accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Maya Maya. This does not mean that he is formed of the external energy. This Maya refers to his internal potency. So we're going to learn more and more about him. And in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, he writes, and this is from there, it describes the different incarnations. It's quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam and different scriptures about this Lord Vraha incarnation. So here he's describing here in the Sri Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So he says here, Sri Vraha is described in the first canto, 137. The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe. According to Sri Vishnu Dharmottara Purana, Lord Vraha lifted the earth from the Rasatala region because it had fallen from its regular place during the flood of universal devastation. And in the second canto, 271, it's here quoted, when the unlimited powerful Lord assumed the form of a boar as a pastime, just to live planet Earth, which was drowned in the great ocean of the universe called the Garbhodak, the first demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared, and the Lord pierced him with his tusk. This verse poetically says that the Lord assumed the form of Vraha, Vibrat Krudim Tanum. The complete picture is that his form of Vraha exists eternally in Vaikuntha and appears as an avatar at certain times and places in the material creation. Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita 2:3:15-16 mentions that Lord Vraha is present within the shell of elemental earth that surrounds the universe, where the goddess Bhumi worships him with incomparable opulence. That's interesting how these different elements in the shells of the universe, that there's actually the Lord lives there, and there's opulences there. So that's really interesting. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapters 13, 17, 18, and 19, Maitreya tells Vidura about the Vraha avatar. And in the fifth canto, 5:18-39, Sukadev describes how Bhumi Devi worships Lord Vraha in the Uttarakaru region of Jambudvip. I have a few of those prayers we'll read here. So it goes on here in the Srila Gopagotamrita. So Lord Vrahadev appeared twice in this day of Brahma. He first appeared during the reign of Swayambhuva, the first Manu. He came out from the nostrils of Lord Brahma and raised the earth planet from the lower regions of the universe. That supreme among tusked animals appeared again during the reign of Chakshusha Manu. At that time, while lifting up the earth, he came out from the universal waters to kill Hiranyaksha. Sri Vraha has four legs, but sometimes he is understood to have a form as half man, half boar. The first of these two Vraha appearances is described in the Bhagavatam's first canto, and the second is described in the second canto. Both of these Vraha incarnations, as well as the two Lord Matsya avatars, appear during this first day, the Brahma Kalpa of Brahma's current month, occurring during the beginning of his 51st year. The first Lord Vraha appeared during the Swayambhuva Manvantara, when he came out from Lord Brahma's nostril and lifted the earth. The second Lord Vraha appeared during the reign of Chakshusha Manu, when he came from within the universal water, lifted the earth, and killed Hiranyaksha. So Lord Vraha is portrayed with a half-human, half-boar form in the Padma Purana and other texts. So here more describing Lord Vraha. Sometimes he is dark blue like a rain cloud, and sometimes white like the moon. These are the two colors the scriptures attribute to that mighty personification of Vedic sacrifice. The Vraha of the Swayambhuva Manu is dark blue, and the other Vraha is white. We thus conclude that Sri Vraha enacts his pastimes at two different times, and that Maitreya combined incidents from both of these histories in his answer to Vidura's questions. In the initial narration of Lord Vraha's appearance in the third canto, Maitreya Muni did not distinguish between the two Vrahas, even though he described incidences from the pastimes of both of them. In the 13th chapter of the third canto, Maitreya described how Lord Vraha lifted the earth out of the Garbha ocean. He mentions in texts 31 and 32 of that chapter that Vrahadev also easily disposed of a demon who attacked him when he came out of the water. At the beginning of the 14th chapter, Vidura asked to hear more about the killing of this demon, whom he identified as Hiranyaksha. So some Puranas mention an annihilation of the universe that occurs in the middle of the Manvantara because of Manu's being cursed by a sage. This exceptional occurrence happened during the reign of Chakshusa Manu. At other times, Lord Padmanabha has personally enacted the pastime of universal annihilation. It may be asked why Lord Raha had to rescue the earth in the middle of the first Manvantara, long before the scheduled devastation of the lower part of the universe. As indicated here, special circumstances sometimes lead to a universal flood during a Manvantara. The Matsya Purana relates that Swayambhuva Manu was once cursed by Agastya Muni to have the worlds inundated during his reign. When the earth was thus lost in the water, Lord Vraha appeared and lifted her out. In the sixth Manvantara, Chakshusa Manu was similarly cursed. According to the Vishnu Dharmotara and other Puranas, however, the flood at that time was due to the Supreme Lord's desire. So this is interesting. So there's a few more here. Quotes he has, in the Vishnu Dharmata Purana, Markandeya states that the universe is certainly annihilated at the end of each Manvantara. Lord Vraha appeared during two different Manvantaras to lift the earth out of the water of devastation. Although the lower part of the universe also floods at the end of every Manvantara, at those times, the earth does not sink in the universal flood, but floats unseen on the surface of the turbulent water. So Nri Vraha's residence, it's describing here, it's 3 million yojanas in circumference. It is said to be on Mahaloka. Nri Vraha is the form of Lord Vraha as half man, half boar. So that's where he has two legs. The next abode, charming like Lord Sesha's, is 500,000 yojanas in circumference. This verse begins the Vishnu Dharmatra's description of the abode of Lord Vraha in his four-legged form. So he has his own abode as the half-man, half-lion, half-boar. And then at his four-legged, he has another abode. Lord Vraha's abode is not literally the same as Lord Sesha's, but the resemblance is so close that it is described as another home of Sesha. So known as Vraha Loka, this self-effulgent attractive world sits below all other planets and touches the shell of the universe. Here the Supreme Lord has taken up residence in his white Vraha form. This is from the Vishnu Dharma Purana. And according to that, it says this abode of the four-legged Lord Vraha lies below the seven Patala regions and the planet of Kalagni Rudra. Wow. And now here's another description here of the different shells. The second surrounding shell contains the abodes of 24 expansions, beginning with Keshava. Three expansions are understood to be present in each of the eight directions. The abodes of these expansions within the second shell are situated as follows. So it's all these different directions have these different expansions of Krishna. So they're all described Keshava, Narayan, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudana, Trivikram, Vamana, Sridhar, Hrishikesh. So, you know, the 12 different. We chant these mantras when we put on Tilak also. And then it describes the west and the north. And so this is all described. And then Krishna is one of the 24 second level Vyuha expansions that comes out originally as a son of Mother Yasoda. So then it describes here the third shell, and it includes the 10 expansions, beginning with Matsya, Kurma, in the 10 directions. And then the 8 directions also mentions, plus above and below are Matsya, Kurma, Vraha, Nrisinga, Vamana, Parshuram, Rama, Krishna, Buddha, and Kalki. So these are, we mentioned all the different directions, and then above and below is where Vraha, Nrisinga, Vamana, Kurma, they appear. That's where their abodes are. So this is interesting. So, and then, so it describes here that each of these different expansions eternally lives in his own Vaikuntha planet, and some also reside in the personal abodes, within the material world. So that's a pretty amazing. So here's Lord Vrahadev in his half-man, half-boar expansion. This is a painting from the book that we were just referring to here, Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So Lord Vraha lifted the earth from the Rasatala region because it had fallen from its regular place during the flood of the universal devastation. And so we described here how Lord Vraha is present within the shell of elemental earth that surrounds the universe, and that goddess Bhumi worships him with incomparable opulences. So this is all described there. Yeah. And there's an interesting pastime of with when Lord Ram kills Ravana, how actually Lord Vraha was, I don't know the exact, I can't tell all the details, but just kind of what I remember is that he was traveling, I think it was in the heavenly planets or somewhere, if someone knows this pastime, where there was this beautiful deity of Lord Vrahadev. And Ravana wanted that deity. And the deity, you know, who is this demon he wants? He was so attracted because Lord Vraha, in any form of Krishna, he's very attractive. So Ravana was really attracted to this deity, and he wanted the deity to worship him in his place. So he wanted the deity, and I guess they gave it to him, but he couldn't lift the deity. The deity didn't want to go with the demon. Even though, you know, Ravana lifted Mount Kailash with Lord Shiva on it himself. He lifted that. But yet he couldn't lift this little deity of Lord Vrahadev. So eventually he offered these beautiful prayers, and eventually Lord Vrahadev agreed to come in that form. And he worshipped him in his place in Lanka. And then when Lord Ram came and destroyed that place, he took the deity and he took it to Ayodhya, and he worshipped him there for like 110 years. So the story goes on, and then eventually he goes different places. So anyway, that just gives you a little summary of that pastime. So this is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, Lord Vraha, Lord Chaitanya appeared as Lord Vrahadev. And there's that verse, Vraha avesha haila murari bhavane, tanre skandachari prabhu nichala angane. One day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt the ecstasy of the boar incarnation and got up on the shoulders of Murari Gupta. Thus they both danced in Murari Gupta's courtyard. So this is how he was crying out and experiencing the different pastimes. But we know Lord Chaitanya came in Kali Yuga to spread the Sankirtan movement so that we can chant the yajna for this age of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So let's see here. We'll go next. Some more beautiful paintings of Lord Vrahadev lifting the earth. So there's many places, you know, this is a picture I took in Vrindavan. This is Jamuna. And just amazing how there's so many places there where Krishna had his pastimes. Just by seeing them or being there, like there's so many benedictions, you know, you could get. And there's amazing places. So there's a very nice, I think this is from the Adi Purana. It says, as sunrise destroys the dark of night, as transcendental knowledge vanquishes misery, as the sight of Garuda frightens snakes, as the force of wind disperses clouds, as the arrival of a lion causes deer to flee, as the force of lightning bolt levels mountains, be the very site of Radha and Krishna's transcendental abode, destroy all sins lodged within one's heart. Isn't that beautiful? So this is where, this is the Vraha Ghat, and there's a Vraha temple there in India. Where we were staying, it was only like probably 50 to 100 kilometers away, I think. It was very close. Here's another. But let me go back to this one here. This is a place where there is. So this Vraha Ghat is situated, I mean this Vraha temple there is situated near, you know, is there at the Braha Ghat. It's recently renovated, and it's a compound with this red sandstone, and it's like an ashram there and courtyard. And there's beautiful temple of deities of Raha, Sita Ram, Lakshmana, Hanuman, and Radha Krishna. And they're being worshipped by the devotees of the Ramanuja Sampradaya. There's another view of the temple compound there. And this is the deities that are there. And Lord Brahadev is on the right there. There's a close-up. There's a large four-handed deity of Lord Brahadev. And then at this place, actually, Krishna was playing in the dirt. And his coward boyfriends, they commented, you know, they said, "Hey, Krishna, you're enjoying yourself just like a hog does in the dirt." And Krishna replied, he said, "Actually, I was a boar in my previous life." And then he exhibited that form as Lord Brahadev to them, you know, to his friends for their transcendental amusement. So, and there's another pastime where Lord Vraha manifested to the Vraja Gopis at a now famous place on the Jamuna River called Vraha Ghat. So this is the Vraha Ghat place where that happened. And it's also famous because the sage Gotama Muni had his ashram there. And so, yeah, this is only 150 to 100 meters right from the home of where Giraswami lives and Indradyumna Swami and Bibi Govinda Swami lives. It's very close to that place there. The Jamuna actually used to come right up to that place, but it doesn't go there anymore. It changed its course. But it's still in its original place there. And Indradyumna Swami talks about when he actually went there in the 70s, it was a very secluded temple. It was under the shade of a very huge banyan tree. And it had a beautiful deity of Lord Brahadev, but unfortunately some thieves stole it. So I guess now they got another deity there and they fixed it up. So actually I mentioned here that there's a pastime with Lord Vraha and the gopis. Yeah, actually, Lord Vraha, there's a pastime with the gopis. Many of you may have known. So it begins one day when the coward boys, they were tending their cows at Raman Reddy. And that's where ISKCON Balaram Temple is located right there. And so the boys, they were taking care of the cows in that area. And then a messenger arrived and told Krishna that Radharani and her gopi friends are out at the Jamuna there, they're getting water for cooking. And so Krishna wanted to escape his boyfriends. And he told them, "I'm going to go search for the stray cows." And then after some time, he actually found the gopis on the bank of the Jamuna. And they were just casually dipping the water, pitchers in the water, and you know, from the Jamuna River. And then Krishna, as he was approaching them, the gopis, they pretended not to notice him. You know, so then Krishna made some noise, you know, coming around, you know, you know. So then finally they said, they noticed him and they said to Krishna, "Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, what are you doing in this part of Braj?" And Krishna said, "Oh, my cows are grazing nearby and I'm just searching for them, the ones that are strayed." And then one gopi said, "Well, you can see there's no stray cows here." And then all the gopis, they start putting their pitchers of water on their head and they got up to leave, you know, just to take off. So Krishna, in order to keep their attention, he said, "You girls carry those pitchers so elegantly." And then Radharani turned back and she said, she quipped at him and said, "Krishna, unlike you, we're accustomed to such service." But Krishna didn't appreciate her sarcasm. So he said, "Dear Radha, you're not the only ones who carry pitchers." So at that point, all the gopis turned toward Krishna. And in unison, they said, "When have you ever lifted a water pot on your head?" So Krishna placed both his hands on his hips and replied, "A water pot is nothing. I've lifted this whole planet with all its oceans and rivers and streams on my head." And the oceans, you know, they're all, he said, "These are all on my head." And this reply caused the gopis to laugh so hard that the water pitchers that they were carrying on their heads started to shake and all the water started to splash everywhere. So then Smiling, Radharani said, "When have you lifted this planet on your head, Krishna?" So Krishna shot back, "Long ago, when I appeared as a boar to raise the earth out of the Garbhodak ocean." So hearing that, the gopis just went silent. So then one gopi said, "Krishna, how can we believe such an outrageous statement?" So Krishna replied, "Because the sage Gargamuni said at my name-giving ceremony, after my birth, that in the past I appeared with a red complexion." So another gopi said, so you see all the gopis are like challenging Krishna, ganging up on him. And they said, "Krishna, just because you had a red complexion doesn't mean that you were the red-haired Vraha incarnation of Lord Narayan. But if you show us, then maybe we'll believe you." He said, "All right, you know, seeing is believing. Then behold my Vraha Rupa." And then he disappeared. And then in that place, there was a very small boar about the size of a thumb. And then the Brajagopis came very close to get a better look at that little boar. And just as about, you know, they're about to criticize that the size of the boar began to grow. And after a few moments, it expanded so much that its body touched the clouds. And he began to make in these thunderous roars, in which made the gopis, they were covering their ears. And there's a beautiful description the Shastras give of Lord Boar. And this is the description. "The Lord's four white tusks glitter like the Brahmajyoti, and his lotus petal eyes glowed with red anger. And standing on his rear legs, this huge boar displayed his divine body. Thick with red quivering hair, brilliant with arrow-sharp hooves, and fragrant with a garland of lotus flowers." So then, after he appeared like this, so huge, this boar, he bent down and he rammed his tusks into the ground right in front of the gopis. And then he lifted his head and he shocked the coward girls, and they could see the earth suspended on the tips of his curved tusks. They could clearly see the earth with its continents, its oceans, the mountain ranges. They're all resting very easily on the tusks of Lord Boar. And then they heard all these angelic voices from the sky chanting Vedic mantras. The demigods are reciting mantras like the Purusha Shukta. And then Vrahadev extended his right hoof and he called for his Sudarshan Chakra. And then at that moment, one of the coward girls, they began to whisper to another one. They said, "Is this really our Krishna? This big boar, is this really our Krishna?" she asked. So then the Shastras says, they're saying this, to answer that doubt, actually at that time, Vraha changed the color of his body from red to cloud blue, like Krishna. So that way they could see. So at that point, the gopis understood that actually this is indeed their Krishna. And then suddenly, as the boar had appeared, he disappeared. And when they looked around to see where Krishna was, he was also gone. And so while they were speaking, they walked over to where this Lord Vraha appeared. And then they saw these giant hoof prints in the soil. And right beside them, they saw Krishna's familiar footprints. And then they concluded, actually, Krishna's shown them his form of Lord Boar. So they thought, where did he go? So then they were thinking, maybe he didn't stay around to hear our acknowledgement that, yeah, we believe you, that you're actually Lord Boar. But maybe they thought, well, maybe he would think that we're coming to criticize him, that we're going to make fun of him, that we didn't believe him. But now they had no doubts because they actually understood that actually Krishna had been a giant boar in his previous life. But really, it's described that they weren't so impressed because the acharyas say that they were infinitely more interested in Krishna. You know, where he was at that moment and about his pastimes, this cowherd prince of Braj, rather than these incarnations that were worshipped with awe and reverence. So then the gopis, they actually gathered all their things and they started on their way back home, you know, with their water pitchers on their head. And as they were going back, Some distance away, they saw Krishna and the cowherd boys. They were herding their cows. And the girls covered their faces, and they saw Krishna from a distance looking at them with his cute smile, you know, on his lips. And it's like, you know, like, yeah, see, I showed you how cool I was. You know, I was Lord Bor, you know. So he was like, you know, like then the gopis were also like, yeah, yeah. They're having loving glances back and forth. So then from that time on the bank of the Jumna River, this is where Krishna displayed his Bor incarnation. It's been called Vrahagat. So then there's another time right close to this area. This is in Mathura, which is not too far away. There's a Vishrama Ghat. And this is where all the Vaishnavas, when they go on Parikram during Kartik, they start here. And like I mentioned, just to see these holy places, to touch them, we should do that. It's described in the Vedas. And even if we can't see them or they're lost, we should remember them and bow down to them. So there's a nice place in the 10th canto. Nanda Mara says that when we see these places where Mukunda had his pastimes, our minds completely become totally absorbed in him. This is how we could become absorbed. And it's described, if we just read and hear about Vrindavan, you can liberate 200 generations of your family in the future and in the past. I forgot to put the map of the Parikrams on here, sorry. But Mathura is shaped like a half moon. And along its edge, there's 25 ghats, and there's 12 on each side of this Vishrama ghat. And in the Skanda Purana, it said, the celebrated holy place, Sri Vishranti, is situated in Mathura. By visiting this place, a traveler attains eternal rest. By bathing there and worshiping Lord Achyuta, one attains immortality and is automatically freed from the miseries of material existence. So, as I mentioned, actually there's a pastime with Kamsa. Because Vishrama actually means rest. And actually, we see Krishna rested there after he killed the demon, Hiranyaksha. He rested at this place. And also, after Krishna killed Kamsa, this is where he rested, at this place right here. And it's described that actually, after Krishna killed Kamsa, he dragged him all through Mathura. And then he dragged him, his body, to the Vishrama Ghat. And he actually had a funeral for him because he was purified. So they performed a funeral for him that was fit for a warrior and a king. So this is what Krishna did. Because he's related. He was his family member, right? He was his uncle or something. So this is it described there that I just mentioned. Lord Vraha rested after his victory over Hiranyaksha. And Rahadev is known as Dharani Dara because he held the earth on his tusks. And it's interesting here that Vishrama Ghat, he's still holding the earth there, holding the fact that Mathura is spiritual and not part of the earth. And it's described there that in the fifth canto, it's described, Sukadeva Goswami is describing to the king, the Supreme Lord in his Bor incarnation, who accepts all sacrificial offerings, lives in the northern part of Jambadweep. There in the tract of land known as Uttarakura Varsha, Mother Earth and all the other inhabitants worship him with unfailing devotional service by repeatedly chanting the following Upanishadic mantra. So there's some mantras there, how they offer their respectful obeisances. And this is in the fifth canto, chapter 18. And they're all described there. I won't mention them all. But there's one nice verse I like to read. It's a very nice. It starts, Om Ram Hrim Hrum Om Namo Bhagavate Hrishikeshaya Sarva Guna Visheshar. I'm not going to continue. But it says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hrishikesh, the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything, as the Supreme Master of all bodily, mental and intellectual activities. He is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are his partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are his energy, and thus non-different from him. And he is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also non-different from him. Indeed, he is the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Therefore, let us all offer him respectful obeisances. May he always be favorable towards us in this life and the next. So there's really nice prayers there in the fifth canto that talk glorifying Lord Rahadev. Here's a really nice sculpture of Lord Rahadev with his foot on the demon's head. And it's described here that yet Krishna never leaves Vrindavan to go anywhere else. In Vrindavan, he has two hands, never four hands. And he plays constantly in the exclusive company of his coward girlfriends. So this is where the pastimes Krishna is there. So you can see this is the wonderful pastime of Lord Rahadev and the places he appeared. And you can actually go to these places and get purified. Just by seeing, it's described. We mentioned how you get purified. So Radha and Krishna, their loving pastimes are all displayed all throughout Vrindavan. And if we have the fortune to even go to those places, touch those places, hear about those places, you know, and honor them. And just like today, we're celebrating Lord Rahadev. We fasted yesterday, and today we feast. How we can get purified and become so pure that we can actually appreciate these different incarnations of Krishna. So anyway, that's all I have for now. And if there's any comments or questions or any other realizations or pastimes someone may remember of Lord Rahadev. So, great. All right, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Lord Rahadev. Hare Krishna. Thank you, bro.